In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. This is an icon of St. James the Persian. He's commemorated today, and he's one of my absolute favorite saints. He was a great martyr, but at first he was not at all like a martyr. He was a coward. But then he came to his senses. He confessed Christ, and he was tortured in unbelievable ways. Those who listen carefully to our services, when I'm serving, will hear that I commemorate him at every service. You should read his life. You should learn from it. It is good to learn from people who made terrible errors and came to their senses. God never abandons any one of us. If you are not perfect, and even if you have made terrible errors and mistakes, reading the life of St. James should be required for you. So go do it. Ask for his intercessions. He understands cowardice. He understands apostasy. He understands terrible mistakes. He also understands that God will help anyone that comes to their senses. And what is more, he's more alive today than he was when he lived on this earth. He can hear us when we cry out to him and we ask him to pray to God to help us to be courageous and steadfast and stop doing whatever it is we're doing that we can't stop doing. Or maybe we should start doing something that we can't start doing. There are two versions of his life. You shouldn't be alarmed by this. The important details about his life are the same in both versions. In one version, he is a soldier, and he's called to give sacrifice to the pagan gods, and he acquiesces because of cowardice. In another version, he's a member of the court, and the king loves him very much, and he decides to apostatize in order for the king to love him more. Doesn't really matter which version is true. What matters is that James evidently wasn't a very good Christian. He gave up his birthright very easily. His story could have ended there, and we would not know his life or his name. There are vast millions of people that have done that. Most of them do not repent, and they lose their souls. James had a great advantage by the mercy of God. He had a mother and a wife who loved him enough to rebuke him. They sent him a very harsh letter with words that would not be acceptable in our age of blind consent with immorality and apostasy and ignorance. They basically told him he was an apostate and they would have nothing to do with him unless he repented. Can you imagine the response of the politically correct crowd of such a letter in our day? Of course, most people in our day, just like in any other day, don't really believe in anything that strongly except themselves. James had fallen into idolatry and the worship of himself, because anyone who worships himself cannot worship God. This was the source of his apostasy. The letter that James was sent resonated in his sinful soul. He resolved to make his confession before the king and to repudiate his apostasy. The king, who formerly loved him, now hated him, and he put James to great torture. St. James was tortured by putting each of his limbs on a chopping block, and parts of his body were taken off piece by piece at each joint by hitting the limb with a hammer. He lost his feet and his toes and his lower legs and his arms and his fingers and everything until he was only a trunk, just a man with a head. No arms, no legs. Of course, only God can cause a man that has such torture to survive for the length of it. The blood loss alone would kill someone very, very quickly. But God allowed him to endure, and we are blessed to have his words as he was tortured. I'm sure that many of you are frightened when you hear of St. James' tortures. Don't let that be your only impressions of his martyrdom. James is now among the saints, and he's blessed. He's in indescribable glory. None of his tortures are causing him any distress right now. I'm sure that there are many of you that look at this video or listen to it or read the document that I'm written that have terrible sins. And you feel they make you completely unworthy of God's love. There are Orthodox Christians who go to church regularly who may believe that they cannot be saved because of their sins. Perhaps you've had an abortion and not told anyone. Perhaps you've done something very unclean sexually or never said a word of it to anyone or done some terrible deed or not been there for someone that you love, and because you were not there for them, you think that they killed themselves. There are 1,000 different things that people hold themselves liable for, and forget that God's mercy covers everything if we only repent. St. James' life and martyrdom is a wonderful lesson for us. That's why I commemorate him at every service. Sometimes, by the way, I'm befuddled as to why I'm rarely asked why there are certain people that I commemorate at the end of every service. The priest sometimes wonders, well, anyway, this sinful priest wonders if anybody's really listening. All of us are capable of terrible things, but God is more powerful than any terrible thing. It's good to ask James' intercession for us if we suffer from cowardice or any sin that's long-standing, or if there's anything we cannot forgive ourselves for. In Bishop Nicolai's prologue, there's a short life of St. James and a beautiful poem concerning him, and also the words that are preserved that came from him as he was being tortured. I'd like to read them to you now. When the executioner severed the thumb of St. James' right hand, he said, "Even a vine is pruned in this matter so that in time a young branch may grow." At the severing of his second finger, he said, "Receive also, O Lord, the second branch of thy sowing." At the severing of his third finger, he said, "I bless the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." At the severing of his fourth finger, he said, "O thou who acceptest the praise of the four beasts," those are the symbols of the four evangels, "accept the suffering of the fourth finger." At the severing of his fifth finger, he said, "May my rejoicing be fulfilled as that of the wise virgins at their wedding feast." During the severing of the sixth finger, he said, "Thanks be to God, who at the sixth hour stretched out his most pure arms on the cross, and thou hast made me worthy to offer thee the sixth finger." At the severing of the seventh finger, he said, "Like David, who praised thee seven times daily, I praise thee through the seventh finger severed for thy sake." At the severing of the eighth finger, he said, "On the eighth day wast thou thyself, O Lord, circumcised." At the severing of the ninth finger, he said, "At the ninth hour thou didst commend thy spirit into the hands of thy Father, O my Christ, and I offer thee thanks during the severing of my ninth finger." At the severing of the tenth finger, he said, "On a ten-stringed harp I sing to thee, O God, and I thank thee that thou hast made me worthy to endure the severing of the 10 fingers of my 2 hands for the 10 commandments written on the 2 tablets. Oh, what wonderful faith and love. Oh, the noble soul of this night for Christ. May God bless you. Amen.